Welcome. This is the Lowdown.
Woke up quick at about noon.
Booster.
Go.
Retro.
Go.
Vital.
We're go fly.
Guidance.
Guidance go.
The Lowdown. With Damian Barley.
You realize this is our radio show, right?
Jason Ross.
But they just need to get it right.
And Ken Rudolph.
My honest answer would be something that's probably going to be offensive.
The Lowdown.
Afternoon, gentlemen.
Broadcasting live from the Coors Light Studios. Coors Light. With great beer comes great responsibility. The Lowdown.
You mad, bro?
You mad, bro?
Knowing nothing in life but to be legit.
Now.
Don't quote me, boy, because I ain't sick.
This is The Lowdown.
Hour number three on this draft day special. We thank you so much for tuning in to Jason Ross, Ken Rudolph. I'm Damian Barling. I wholeheartedly concur that you did. You go to the vending machine and that's the one that came out?
Yep.
Yes.
I can confirm that.
Ken Rudolph just got a Snickers bar that says grouchy on it.
The grouch.
You know what? Doing Grant's show on Tuesday was the, or was it Tuesday? Yeah, Tuesday was the worst thing that could have happened to us.
Why is that?
You were a whole different human being that day. You were not the same guy.
Was that nice?
You were nice.
I don't remember Tuesday at
you
all.
You were
I don't remember anything that happened that day.
Okay, so I was wondering if you had done a few other things before
only
you came in,
because
you were in such a great mood. It was like, what has gone on since you got off of television?
Was that Stanley?
Stanley, yes,
was
that,
Tuesday,
was Stanley.
Okay.
That was Stanley.
And that's all I remember from Tuesday is Stanley.
We're going to get Bob Gerald, the son of the G-Man of Baseline Spin. .com coming up here in just a few minutes. Obviously, the draft is just a couple of hours away. Grant Napier is going to be doing a show live from Firestone downtown. We'll give you all the details on that here in just a little bit. Now, this is the time of day where rumors start flying.
Oh, yeah.
And we've heard actually through most of the day that, and Scott Howard Cooper of NBA.com even confirmed this to us, no one believes Boston actually wants that third pick.
Mm-hmm.
They don't want another young guy. They want to use that, maybe tag it along with that unprotected Brooklyn pick that they have next year.
From the second round?
And get no.
Oh, no. Next year,
they have next year's
year,
first round
whatever
pick.
Brooklyn does.
Which could be number one.
That's their gold mine.
Yeah.
That's why we said that's a DeMarcus Cousins. That's an all-star. That's a top-tier player that
that's if they're
right
going
there
all in for it.
Right.
Yeah. Because what if they did less and then still and were good and made another playoff run and then had the number one pick again next year?
Right.
They could wait and do that, too. So.
LeBron James has informed Team USA he will not participate in the Rio Olympics. I don't think that's a big shock to anyone.
Not
but he
at
said
all.
He could use
it's
the
now
rest.
It's a shock when players say they are going.
Yes. Well,
especially this year. This year just has a bad...
Bad mojo, baby.
Bad
vibe.
Thing around it. Happy to be joined by Bob Gerald, son of the G-Man, and BaselineSpin.com. And, Bob, we were just talking about all of the rumors that are flying around with that third pick. And I'll pose to you the same question that we asked Scott Howard Cooper earlier on. We know Brandon Ingram and Ben Simmons are the top players in the draft. Who's the third?
That's a good question, and great to be on with you guys. I enjoy your show.
Oh, appreciate it. Thank you.
You got it. In my opinion, it would be Chris Dunn at this point. I think I don't think there's a huge separation there, and I think there's some different guys that you might want to take a big swing on. But with the third pick, I mean, I just think Chris Dunn looks like an NBA point guard. He defends. I think that's one of the, you know, the big keys. I don't think he's maybe going to be as good as some people are making him out to be. I'm not sure that this is a transcendent type player who's going to be a multiple time all-star, but I do think he's going to be a good starter in the NBA at some point. So, I mean, I would lean Chris Dunn.
And, Bob, would you say this is a good draft class, above average, below average? I mean, overall, what's your perception of the group that's going to the draft tonight?
I think that it's decent at the top of the draft, and then I think it has some depth to it as far as, you know, there are going to be some roster maker guys. I think there'll be some guys that aren't drafted that will end up making teams like there is every year, but this year maybe – more so than we've seen in the past. There's definitely some guys in, you know, in the second round that I like that other people aren't talking about. So, you know, we'll see. You know how it is with the draft. You can't really tell until 3, 4, 5 years down the line, you know, what really happened. One of the things I like to do on my website and on my blog is is tomorrow, you know, after this draft, I'm going to break down like the 2012 draft. You know, that's it. Everybody else wants to break down the 2016 draft the day after the draft, and I just think that's silly. I mean, you know, we no one has any idea what's going to happen. There's going to be injuries. There's going to be trades. There's going to be all kinds of things that are going to go on in the next 3 or 4 years with these guys. And you know, smart people make mistakes in the draft. Some smart people make really good decisions in the draft. But, you know, even Daryl Morey drafted Royce White in 2012 and used the 17th pick in the draft on him. So, you know, there are smart guys that are going to make some mistakes too.
All right, Bob, let's bring it on home. You've done all the research, all the analysis. What is the best way the Sacramento Kings can utilize pick number 8?
Well, if it were, if I was running things over there, and don't I wish, but I would have made a big trade some time ago. I'm a big picture guy, and I don't think the Kings are ready, even with DeMarcus being as good as he is. I just don't think they're ready to compete in the West against the Golden State Warriors, the Oklahoma City Thunder, the Los Angeles Clippers. You know, you can go on down the line, the Portland Trailblazers for that matter. So, you know, if it were up to me, and I know this is a whole different conversation, but I would be trying to move DeMarcus and think about the future. I think that the arena is actually something that could buy you time. The Golden One Center is this shiny new building that's going to be something that's a curiosity factor for a lot of Sacramentans. And I think they'll come out there and support any team that comes out and plays hard and has a bunch of good guys. So even if you lose a little bit and you know that that would probably be, you know, what would likely happen, I still think the arena would buy you time. So again, that's a conversation for later. I think that it's pretty clear that they're going to stick with DeMarcus. So with that in mind, my next plan would probably be to trade down if possible. And I don't know if that's something they've looked into, but I really like a kid, Bryce Johnson from North Carolina. You know, I saw that Thaddeus Young was traded today. And I heard you guys saying earlier, you know, did the Kings inquire? And for the 20th pick, you know, Bryce Johnson, I hate comparisons, but he does remind me a little bit of Thaddeus Young. I think, you know, Bryce doesn't shoot the three yet, but I think he will in time because he has actually some pretty good touch on his shot. And so that'll be something that comes around. But he's just a pogo stick. He's so athletic, such a great rebounder. He runs in transition. And right now I think the consensus says that a guy like Bryce Johnson might not get picked until late in the first round. So I'd try to maneuver and get me a Bryce Johnson. If that doesn't happen and we have the 8th pick, then it's going to come down to who's there. And if Jaylen Brown ends up being the guy, like it sounds like to me, like he's probably going to be the guy, I'd be okay with that. I think he's a super intelligent kid that's athletic, can play defense, has the size to defend in the NBA. And, you know, he has some things to work on, but all these guys have holes.
You mentioned trading down, Bob. What about trading up? There's been reports out there that they've been talking to Boston along with Philadelphia and a couple other teams about that 3rd pick.
What do you guys think, though? I mean, if the Kings were trying to trade up, what would they have to give up to get that 3rd pick? I mean, in my estimation, I don't think there's anyone on the Kings other than Cousins, and it'd have to be a big package then. You know, if I was going to trade DeMarcus, I'd want the number 3 pick this year. I'd want that Brooklyn pick that Boston has.
I'd have to imagine it's something simpler, like it's a pick swap plus, whether it's McLemore or it's Darren Collison or it's something along those lines, and then they can go get Chris Dunn.
Yeah, and I still would be, you know, I'd wonder why Boston would want to do something like that. I mean, I don't know what Boston would want with Darren Collison or Ben McLemore at this point because they're already loaded with guards.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's interesting. Danny Ainge certainly holds a lot of cards in this draft coming up, and it's going to be interesting to see. He's done a good job of just stockpiling.
Yeah, no doubt. Bob, on your website, by the way, baselinespin.com, that's where you write. You evaluate with your own thought. That's not really weighing other mock drafts. That's why it's interesting. You already referenced Bryce Johnson, who you have rated much higher than most. Another guy you have high on your list that has seemingly dropped, but makes a lot of sense for, I think, any team. We've seen him play a lot in college, and that's Valentine from Michigan State. Would check a lot of boxes. Seemingly is dropping a little bit, maybe because of his knees. But what do you like about him, and would he be a good fit here, especially if the Kings maybe did trade down?
Well, if your doctors feel good about Denzel Valentine, I would totally sign off on that. I like Denzel Valentine. I'm a little leery sometimes of the seniors, you know, in the NBA draft. If you look back at some of the guys, let's go back to the 2014 draft. There were seniors taken in the first round. Doug McDermott, Adrian Payne, Shabazz Napier, C.J. Wilcox, Josh Huestis. None of those guys now. I didn't have a high opinion really of any of those guys at that time as I do of Denzel Valentine. And to answer your question, yeah, he checks a lot of boxes. I mean, I think the biggest thing for me with him is just the vision and maturity that he plays with. You know, if you look at him, he improved as a shooter so much during his time at Michigan State. And you know that he was coached well and coached hard by Izzo. So I think there's a lot of positives there. I mean, the knee thing would worry me, but that's why, you know, the NBA teams have the doctors and the medical staff to get into that. Now, I understand that might be an issue for the Sacramento Kings because I guess some of the agents have been reluctant to share that information with the Kings. But and in Valentine, you're talking about a guy with an assist-to-turnover ratio well over 2-1, a defensive rating that was better than the Michigan team defensive rating. He can score, he can rebound, he makes his free throws, you know, over 40% as a three-point shooter, and he has size for the guard position. Now, the one thing you worry about there is he doesn't really have any elite athleticism until you wonder, you know, is this a guy who's maxed out? Is he going to look like, you know, Jared Dudley in about 5 or 6 years? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Or is he going to stay after it and be a really good pro? And I tend to think that he is going to be a really good NBA player.
You know, Bob, you made a comment about how you assess the talent and how you're not in favor of some of the guys who may be seniors coming out, even though you like Denzel Valentine. You don't normally like guys that are seniors. And we were talking about that earlier, how we don't understand that, why teams are more willing to pick up a one-and-done 19-year-old and teach this kid how to play basketball while you're paying him $10 million, mm-hmm. as opposed to going for someone who's developed at maybe a good school, at whether it be North Carolina or Duke, that's been there for 4 years and has great fundamentals. Why do they shy away?
Yeah, no, and I agree with you in this particular instance this year. Like I was saying, you know, if you go back and look at some of the past seniors, okay, so let's look at last year's seniors that were drafted in the first round. Frank Kaminsky, you know, the jury's still out on Kaminsky. I think he's going to be pretty good. Jaron Grant, who just got traded. DeLon Wright, he didn't play at all for the Raptors. Larry Nance Jr., the jury's still out. I think he had a pretty good rookie season. In 2013, there was really only one. C.J. McCollum was the 10th pick. He was a senior taken, and certainly we love him. But the others were Mason Plumlee and Solomon Hill, and you're kind of like, eh. You know, so I think one thing that NBA teams usually miss on, and it's hard, it's easy to understand why it would happen, is they miss on some of the freak athletes that we know little bit about. You know, Giannis Antetokounmpo went 15th in the 2013 draft, and there were other players taken, you know, ahead of him. You tell me, how would you, if we redid the 2013 draft right now, you got Antetokounmpo, Oladipo, C.J. McCollum, Dennis Schroeder, Rudy Gobert, Michael Carter-Williams. I mean, you know, that's kind of your top five or six there. Would any of you think that Antetokounmpo is the best of that group yet?
He's pretty close if he's not. He's shown a lot.
Yeah, and he ended up going 15th just kind of because people didn't know about him, you know, and it was hard to predict where he was going to be. And, you know, so that's the age-old thing with the draft. It's, you know, do you go for the guy who's been productive throughout his college career, or do you go for a guy who you think has this upside? And it's interesting. I mean, there's a lot of debates like that, even at the top of the draft. You know, Jason and I were discussing this the other day, Buddy Hield or Jamal Murray. And I think it's really close. I mean, I could be swayed either way with both of those guys. They're both great shooters. Buddy Hield right now, I think, is the better player today. But Buddy Hield as a freshman was nowhere close to what Jamal Murray was as a freshman at Kentucky this year.
Yeah.
It feels like when you start talking about all those players, you could really lump them all together.
Yeah, no, I agree. Buddy Hield and Jamal Murray are better players right now today than Jaylen Brown.
Mm-hmm.
But I think Jaylen Brown has a higher upside because of his athleticism and his ability to defend. You know, that's one thing that worries me a little bit with Murray and Hield. Both of them had defensive ratings that were worse than their team defensive ratings. That's something that I've really kind of keyed in on the last few years. It's been almost a breakthrough, if you will, as far as the way I've researched the draft. And it's something that I've done for years and years now, and that was one of the key elements that I was missing for a long time, was really looking at, you know, defense is half the game. It really is, and it's any way you slice it. And people forget that, and they don't look at it. And if you were watching the NBA playoffs and the NBA finals, you know, Golden State doesn't get to the finals without Andre Iguodala doing what he did on Kevin Durant. And Kevin Durant still got his, right?
Yeah.
I mean, Kevin Durant was brilliant, but Iguodala had, you know, there was a handful of possessions there when it really mattered, where Iguodala shut him down or did just enough to disrupt him that Golden State was able to prevail. And I don't think they could do that without Andre Iguodala. So, you know, defense, you can never, I don't think, you know, look past that.
Bobby, there seems to be, like we've all said, a tier two after Simmons and Ingram. The Kings are in that second tier. And a name that keeps coming up, but that you rated lower, and I'd be curious why. Mm-hmm. What about Bender? You've put Bender farther down than most. Why is that?
So I have Dragan Bender 15th on my board right now, and that's actually giving him more credit than I've been wanting to give him. I look at him, and again, you know, I'm like everybody else. I'm not going to try to fake the funk at all. I have not seen Dragan Bender play, you know, 3 or 4 to 6 or 7 games the way I have all these college guys. So I've seen Bender. I actually subscribe to a couple of things, Eurobasket.com, where you are allowed to get on there and watch some complete games. But, I mean, he's a guy who plays 14, 15 minutes a game. So it's very hard to project. But one of the things that really worries me about him is he's not an athlete at all. I mean, his max vert is 27.5 inches. And to give you a comparable, that's a half or an inch and a half less than Jeff Withey jumps. So, you know, again, running and jumping isn't everything, but it is something in the NBA. So now he's also...
Yeah, it's kind of important in this league, right?
he has a feel for the game. There's no doubt about that. He runs hard and he can finish in transition. And if you were going to say, okay, Dragan Bender's a small forward offensively and he has those kind of skills, I can buy that, actually, when I watch him and look at the numbers. But defensively, I don't think he would stand a chance of guarding wings in the NBA, at least not at this point. So now you're talking about him as a big. And, you know, you're talking about him as a big at 215 pounds. To me, there's just a lot of gray area there. And I think that a lot of people, one of the things that I take pride in is I call it independent thought. I'm one that tries to never be swayed by the mass media or the herd. I'm curious. I always want to look into it myself and try to find out, you know, are they blowing me some smoke here? And I just think there's such a buzz after Porzingis having a successful season that a lot of people want to say, hey, he's the best guy from Europe. He's the next Porzingis. Well, really, there's a lot of differences in their games. Porzingis is a lot more athletic. He had played at a higher level. He was playing more at a higher level than Bender is. So it's
but
not
you see that he's 7'1", you see that he's 7'1", and he can shoot, so you just go, well, we don't want to miss out on the next Porzingis, so we got to draft this guy.
Right, but Darko Milicic was 7'1", and could shoot, too.
Yeah, that didn't go too well either.
No, it didn't. And there have been other guys, too, you know, that are big that can shoot. I mean, Brad Lohaus was 7'1" and could shoot. Maybe he wasn't 7'1". But, you know, we could go through, you know, a series of guys. I do a lot of auto racing announcing, and one of the analogies that I bring over from auto racing is, you know, one of the things they do before a race is they time trial guys. And you're out there on the track by yourself making one lap. And a lot of times the guys who have the fastest times out there on the racetrack by themselves are not necessarily the guys who win the race. You know, how do you react in traffic? You know, can you pass guys? Are you comfortable with someone leaning on you underneath? Are you going to be able to mash the pedal up on the high groove of the racetrack? And that's the same thing in basketball. I mean, are you going to fight through a pick set by DeMarcus Cousins? Are you going to, you know, you're going to be able to bang? You're going to be able to take a coach yelling at you? You're going to be able to take a teammate yelling at you, because those things are going to happen in the NBA.
As we are...
We're familiar with.
Yeah.
We're familiar with that here.
Now, here's the thing. The great thing about what you've been doing, Bob, is you've given us so much information that I'm done. I've got all the information I need on basketball. I'm good. But I'm sticking on your site. I'm on baselinespin.com, and you have three links here, and one of them is music.
Oh, yeah. Bobby loves music.
But you haven't done anything in a while on there, buddy.
I haven't. This is true.
But I like everything.
He's a little busy. The draft is coming up on Thursday.
He's got categories for everything. 100 great albums, concert, live show reviews, favorite five, deep, hip-hop, slow
jams. That's in your
jams.
Wheelhouse.
Okay, so let's get to what's really important, Bob. Greatest album of all time is?
Ooh, that's a tough one.
You were ready for all the draft questions. You weren't ready for that.
I was. I probably leaned towards Parade by Prince and the Revolution. That was... I think I really like Prince in that era where you had Claire Fisher doing the strings and Wendy and Lisa were all a part of the part of the thing. He started to incorporate horns into his sound at that time. So it's right there with me, but I'm a Prince freak. So it's 1999, Purple Rain, Parade, it's all in there. I love D'Angelo.
Yeah.
D'Angelo's Voodoo would be right in there for me.
See, I would put Sign of the Times ahead of Parade / Under the Cherry Moon.
I love Sign of the Times, too. Yeah, I mean, don't get it twisted. I mean, again, Prince. I mean, come on.
Right, he can do no wrong.
We're talking lottery picks here.
Right, he can do no wrong. By the way, did you get the last album? Did you get Third Eye Girl?
Oh, yeah.
It's a great album.
I've seen Prince over 20 times. I have everything.
It's a great
album.
Hey,
fellas.
Oh, what's up?
We're going to wrap this up, okay?
No.
Y'all can take this little Prince love fest.
How about you guys take a break? Bobby and I will sit here and talk about this. And just wrap this up.
The Purple Hour here as we get ready for the draft. And
I've never met anyone else who knows as much Prince as I do.
You want draft Prince albums?
Oh, yes.
Well, we could have a draft with you two guys.
Hey,
what's up,
definitely
brother?
Definitely could. That would be a show.
We'll do that then. We'll do that next time.
There's going to be a lot of free time with basketball over and hockey over and nothing
Absolutely.
But mid-season baseball coming up. We could have a Prince draft.
You want to do it, Bob? Let's do it.
Let's definitely do
it.
And
we'll
hey, we've got basketball now. July 3rd, I think the Orlando Summer League starts, so it's not that far away.
That's very true.
Free agency opens up, plenty to talk about, and we'll have you back on to break it all down then. Bob, we appreciate your time. Thank you so much, my man.
Love the show, guys. Thanks.
We appreciate you.
Thanks, buddy.
Bob Gerald, baselinespin.com.
By the way, when you talk about Summer League, you put some respect on that. All right? Kings, 2014 Summer League champs.
Championship.
You put some respect on that.
That was a good parade.
Indeed.
Yeah.
That was a fantastic parade. It was me, you.
That's about it.
No,
but it was fun.
Yeah, it was
good. Who was the guy that played for the Kings that was celebrating? Reggie,
Ray McCallum?
No, hey.
I thought you were talking about Ray.
Oh, my God. We had a power forward.
That's how good he was.
On the team, huh?
Reggie Evans?
Yes!
Okay, he was there just probably watching, but yeah.
He was celebrating.
Yeah.
Like there was an actual championship. Like celebrating.
You just brought it up like it was an actual championship.
No, I was being facetious.
I have the ring to prove it.
Spell it.
Facetious?
Mm-hmm.
F-A?
Yeah, it's not like I'm even know if you're right, so there's no point in you even bothering.
F-A-C-E-T-I-O-U-S?
We'll get you updated on all of the latest moves, what's going on, what the rumors are. It seems he's the second guy to say Chris Dunn is the third best player in the draft.
Maybe it's getting closer to consensus, huh?
It certainly sounds like it. Did I tell you? I told you we saw Chris Dunn play in high school.
Yeah.
In Connecticut. He went to East Lyme. I had no idea.
He was just a,
no,
just
I mean,
guy.
He was the best player in Connecticut.
Yeah.
And then he went to Providence. He was going to go to UConn. Things there didn't work out. Calhoun was still there. He ended up going to Providence. I never would imagine we're talking third pick of the draft for this kid.
And obviously, our friend Doris Burke had a lot of good things to say about
him. Of course,
Providence.
Absolutely.
Yeah. But she said
no question
she'd
about
seen
it.
Him play, and she thought that he was good. And we've heard from others that, just like we heard today, that they say he's good enough to start.
And he also got derailed, and that's another thing about him. Even though he's been in college for a number of years, he had two shoulder surgeries. Those are long, long rehabs. We'll talk more Kings. We'll talk more NBA draft as the preview show rolls along here on The Lowdown. Bob Gerald was great, but dude is tripping.
What? What?
Thriller. No matter what.
Was that you or a texter?
No, that's a texter. That's the honest truth. I would back up the texter.
No, no, no.
I know, and everybody gets on Bad like it was not a good album. It might be the second greatest album.
See, I put Off the Wall ahead of all of them.
No, Off the Wall was pretty nasty, too.
Off the Wall was fantastic.
Welcome back to the Lowdown. Jason Ross, you want to weigh in on this?
Something from Bananarama.
There you go. Along with Ken Rudolph, I'm Damian Barling. Thank you so much for tuning in. You join
anybody?
Cruel Summer?
Yeah, I don't know. Sure. I like that song.
All right.
I don't know what else they have.
Culture Club?
Venus.
Well, Culture Club's good stuff. Boy George can still sing.
Really?
Is
he still doing it?
Yeah. I saw him on TV maybe a month or two ago. He's got a great voice. And you would think that, you know, he had a decade where he was abusing himself and just getting in trouble. And sometimes you think they're going to lose that talent, but that's the beauty of talent.
Still there.
You don't lose that, man. Talent is given to you by God, and you got it. You got it.
You just tweeted a picture of your
tattoo. I was just saying that. I see that.
Unbelievable.
Only to Bobby.
No, it goes out to everybody.
Yeah,
when you put it on Twitter,
it's to him.
No, it goes to everyone.
Yeah, y'all can spy if you want, but it's to him.
I see the gun show.
It's to him. We just connected on a level.
You did. I saw your eyes when he mentioned Prince. It was a moment.
Because no one else knows Prince like I do. And when he said some things, I'm like, oh, okay. He knows some things. Yes.
You genuinely got excited.
Yes.
It was a special moment for you.
He wanted us to leave, really.
He did.
I got this now.
He said so. He's like, okay, go take a break. Me and Bobby are going to talk by ourselves.
Everybody else can say what they want. Like, the dude is Michael Jackson or whatnot. I'm like, that's fantastic. Prince has been my dude since day one.
Join Sports 1140 for the 2016 NBA Draft today starting at 4 p.m. at Firestone Public House on 16th Street in downtown Sacramento. Grant Napier will be broadcasting live. Also get an opportunity to meet Sacramento Kings dancers, Slamsons, lots of giveaways. Go to KHDK.com for more info. We know Ben Simmons is going number one. We know Brandon Ingram is going number two, and it absolutely appears someone other than the Boston Celtics will be picking number three. I don't know if it's going to be Philadelphia again. I don't know if it's going to be Sacramento, but they're talking, and there's a lot of smoke around that Boston Celtics pick.
You know what they say, where there's smoke, there is fire, and they have less than 2 hours.
I know it's getting
to get it together.
Getting close.
Getting super close.
That's where you want. I always wondered about the draft room, if it's crazier now, if it's the calm before the storm, if the deals are, people are desperate. Like, we're not going to do that. And then all of a sudden, oh, look who's calling now. Why are they calling back?
Well, you know how it goes.
Yeah.
I mean, We've all seen draft day.
I was getting ready to say it's exactly like that.
Yeah. Of course, because that movie is exactly how it happens.
It is.
Yep.
We've proven that to you over the course of the last 2 months.
Wouldn't lie in a movie.
Kevin Costner never lies.
Nope.
You know it.
He built a baseball field and dead people walked in and played in it.
That's how much power he has. Come on.
A freshman has gone number one overall in each of the last 6 years and eight of the previous nine. 13 freshmen taken last year in the first round. They're expecting 12 at least to be taken this year.
And get used to it.
Both analysts we've had on today, Scott Howard Cooper of NBA.com and Bob Gerald of BaselineSpin.com, noted NBA doesn't like seniors anymore. The longer you're in college, like, we can't complain about basketball anymore. We can't complain about the NCAA. We can't complain about the quality of the NBA because this is the way the system has been set up. Teams don't want guys to stay in.
Yeah.
Unless you're a Tim Duncan, an obvious prize.
And, you know, once Bob gave some of the stats of the draft picks in the last couple of years, and I was like, okay, well, I guess there's a track record there where it's just not working out.
Yeah.
So I guess that explains why I'm not a GM in the NBA. That's the only reason.
Probably a lot
of
reasons.
That's the only reason why.
Okay.
And obviously GMs have to do this. We do this as people that break down sports too, I guess. But you have to find the warts. You have to find all the problems. But that balance of weight, because they're, like Bob said too, like we all know it. There's not – Ben Simmons has flaws. But he seems to have the most talent. So how do you weigh that where you go, well, I really like Buddy Hield, but I don't know how he is handling the ball or making decisions. Okay, but he can shoot. So just weighing, do they weigh more the positives or the negatives? That's got to be difficult.
I guess it kind of goes back to the example we were using earlier today, talking about the young man from, I do believe he's from Pleasant Grove High School,
Marquise Chris. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And the athleticism is off the charts.
Yes.
Great size. But then there were all these other negatives. And so you're thinking, okay, how do you weigh those? And I have to assume that an executive weighs it like this. He's just a kid.
Yeah.
We can get all that bad stuff out of him by working with him. But you're also saying to yourself, we're resigned to the fact that he's not going to be able to really contribute to this team for 3 years.
Yeah.
Which is...
That's
but,
forever.
Right?
Yeah.
But I guess they'd much rather have them, like we've been talking about, they'd much rather have them in their midst so they can teach them as opposed to them being in college. They're getting fundamentals, but they're also getting their own bad habits.
Yeah.
They're also developing their own personality traits that you can't quite
adjust. You can ask the Golden State Warriors how hard it is to break bad habits.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Even for the best team. I mean,
exactly.
And that's the scary thing about having a guy. If it's a projected guy that, let's say Chris, we'll use his example, Marquise Chris. You get him, and maybe you have him for the four-year window, and he starts to develop, but then says, no, I'm going to Miami.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, wait. We had to go through the growing pains, and
puberty.
Then now you're an all-star. Wait a minute. Why'd you? Well, it happens that way sometimes.
Yeah. It's a gamble.
Yeah, it's tough.
You talk about the pros and the cons.
Yeah.
We have a ridiculous amount of draft information on each draftee. I'm going to read you some of the cons.
Okay.
For Brandon Ingram.
Okay.
So clear cut number two, these are the negatives.
The kid from Duke.
Yeah.
So good school, good foundation, right? Good fundamentals.
Lean frame and raw fundamentals will limit him on defense early in his career. Phases in and out of games on both ends. And this is my favorite one. I've never seen this before. Takes off from too far away on layups.
What a shame. Because he can. That guy can probably one step from the three free throw line or 3 point line.
There has to be a reason why that's a negative. Is it a reason guys to
limits his length?
Yeah, you can't. Yeah, you can, more chance will, to block.
He needs to add bulk to hold off defenders.
Yeah, he'll get that.
The cons for Ben Simmons. These are a little more clear. Poor defender, not very tough, rarely uses his left hand, somewhat of a stat patter, poor shooter. This is the interesting one at the bottom. Bad body language, questionable work ethic. This is the number one overall pick in today's draft.
So the pros must just be out of this world, right?
Unique athlete with the size of a big and speed of a guard, super quick in the open floor, ambidextrous ball handler.
But they just say he doesn't use his left hand.
Yeah.
On defense.
Oh.
If you're
his left hand on defense. He's an ambidextrous ball handler.
Okay.
Follow me. This is a serious breakdown of Ben Simmons right here.
Yes, sir.
Post facilitator, elite instincts on offensive boards, good touch on floaters with right hand, uses the glass. That was all of them. Oh, impactful defender when he wants to be. I don't know how that's a plus. I don't know how impactful defender when he wants to be is a plus. But that last one is really interesting to me.
A lot of things contradict themselves.
Body language, questionable work ethic. His effort dropped with adversity at LSU.
That was the thing that I caught my attention. When things went bad for LSU, he went bad.
That caught a lot of people's attention.
And
I
started tuning it out.
Yeah, that's what caught a lot of people's attention because that's when the conversation of Brandon Ingram being the top pick started.
Mm-hmm. Man.
It sure sounded like if I had just read those to you that Brandon Ingram would go first.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
But Ben Simmons was the guy that they made the ridiculous LeBron James comparison to.
Which is, all of it's unfair. But
yeah. Oh, that's totally unfair, though. Like, any time you put that label on someone.
Yeah.
They did it to Jabari Parker. They put him on Sports Illustrated with the Chosen One moniker. Come on, man.
Yeah.
Don't put that much pressure on that kid.
I think it's Draft Express that does their mock draft. And everybody's got their write-up, strengths, weaknesses. But they also tag an NBA player that they're similar to. And the one I still remember this forever, Deshaun Stevenson, the guy that came out of high school from Fresno area, went to the Utah Jazz, had a career, NBA guy, 10 years probably. Comparison was Michael Jordan.
Come on.
Really? I mean, he never once an all-star. I mean, he had a career. It's fine. There's nothing wrong with what he did. But you compare someone to Michael Jordan, you better be Michael Jordan.
Yeah.
That's couldn't have been more unfair.
Not cool.
Nope.
You know what I'd love to, I know we have access to it, the draft report on DeMarcus Cousins.
I'm sure we do. I'm most certain we. That's
most everything I remember then was the red flags were about temper, attitude, those kind of things.
Yeah. The things that have clearly gotten better.
Was work ethic part of it? Was like, anything about him like checking out during games, being disinterested, that type of thing?
I can't remember.
Okay.
I'll have to look that one up. But yeah, wonder how accurate. Some of them were accurate.
Yeah.
My man Dave is listening. He's actually making a comparison on the text line between Ben Simmons and Michael Beasley.
Simmons. Okay. The other one I've heard a lot, too, is Lamar Odom. I think that makes some sense.
If he could be like that, then that's going to be spectacular.
Yeah.
But all Michael Beasley does is, all the thing on his mind is buckets, 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 buckets.
No, he's got a lot of other things on his mind. They just don't have anything to do with basketball.
Buckets, buckets, buckets.
Buckets,
buckets, buckets, buckets.
Any more you want to throw in there?
You need a bucket?
I got it for you.
You need a bucket?
We'll wrap things up. We'll wrap things up. Three stories you may not be paying attention to, but you should, and one on the way, and any draft moves that come between now and then, trade rumors, we got all that stuff next on The Lowdown.
Welcome back.
There's excitement in the air.
The Lowdown continues. And one. Three stories you haven't paid attention to, but you should. Now. And one.
UFC 203 in Cleveland.
What?
The long-awaited debut of former WWE superstar CM Punk in the octagon.
Cleveland has everything now.
Well, I know.
He'll be taking on Mickey Gale. That's September 10th. Okay.
What's
that debut kind of like lost some steam because it's been 2 years in the making. He's been scheduled. Then he's been hurt. He's been rescheduled. Then he got re-injured, had to do various surgeries. I know a lot of wrestling fans have followed him over. MMA purists are eager to see him fail. So between UFC 200, UFC 202, and UFC 203, they have quite the next few months lined up ahead of them. Brock Lesnar in July, Conor McGregor in August, and now CM Punk for September. On a side note, 54-year-old Herschel Walker said he'd love to compete in one more MMA match.
How was his record before?
1-0.
Okay.
And I'm quite convinced he could probably beat up anybody.
Absolutely.
No matter how old they are.
So my question to you on that, is this a make-or-break summer for the UFC?
No.
I think they've had a tough few months.
No.
You think they'll still exist?
They're still going to be... Well, they're going to exist. Yeah, I mean,
I think that they probably just agreed to sell the company for $4.2 billion.
Mm-hmm.
I think they're okay. They're fine. July is going to be... UFC 200 is going to be the biggest pay-per-view buy rate in history for the UFC.
Yeah.
It'll probably hit 2 million with Brock Lesnar and Jon Jones and Daniel Cormier.
And you've got no
problem
spending that $70.
None. None at all. None at all. I'll pay to see Brock Lesnar. I would have paid to see it anyways. It's an incredible card. But to see Brock Lesnar fight, like really fight? Oh, yeah, I'll pay for that. No question about it. We got Jay. Any wrestling news?
I'm going to go baseball.
All right.
I know we touched on it briefly earlier today, but I was thinking about this, about the Giants. They did win today, by the way, 5-3. So it was just two short months ago, early on in the baseball season, this team was 7-10. So that's their season low. They're three games below 500. Today's win, guys, puts them at 47. That ties them with the Cubs and the Rangers for the most in the major leagues. So in that stretch, when they were 7-10, since they've gone 40-17, they're playing incredible baseball right now, 11-1 in their last 12. Their next seven games, three with the Phillies, four with the A's. Those teams are combined 25 games under 500. The streak should continue. They're in a great spot right now, and it's going to be the Giants.
Right? They're looking good. The only thing that can stop them is the Cubs have a little bit of mojo.
Yeah.
Joe Maddon got them wearing those crazy suits and stuff out there.
Mm-hmm.
Baseball is one of those. Baseball and hockey is a weird thing where the teamwork and the solidarity, like you bond over the course of a season, and it could be some.
Oh, hell yeah. You spend so much damn time together, you better bond.
But yet, football teams don't really do it that way. Basketball teams don't really do it. But
Joe Maddon's the master.
Joe Maddon is the master of making guys come together over something.
Yeah.
I want to stick with some baseball, guys, but I'm going to bring it back home. And this kind of references a Three the Hard Way question that you posed a little while back, Jason, and it was regarding the Major League Baseball draft. You asked, hey, if you're drafted, what do you do? Do you go to college or do you get signed and take the money? Yeah. Well, if you're Matt Manning from Sheldon High School, who was picked in the first round by the Detroit Tigers, you bluff like you're going to Loyola. And then when they offer you $3.5 million in a signing bonus, you sign, you get on a plane, you go to Lakeland, Florida, and you get ready to start your career.
Cha-ching.
Matt Manning signed. It's a record for any Sacramento area baseball player to be drafted that high and to receive a $3.5 million bonus. It breaks the record set by a guy who's his teammate now with the Detroit Tigers, Derek Hill, who was from Elk Grove, signed and got a $2.5 million bonus from the same team, the Detroit Tigers, in 2014.
That would be hard to say no. That would be hard.
But if you think about it, do the math, the government's going to take half. Gone.
Okay.
So now you're not talking 3.5, you're talking 1.8, 1.7.
Oh, yeah, then totally.
Wait.
No
way. Your agent gets a percentage.
Okay.
Okay.
We're still over one, right?
Right. So what are you going to do? You got to buy your parents a house. That's what everybody does. You buy your parents something. And then you buy yourself a house, right? Maybe. Well, maybe you don't because you're on the road all the time.
So now you're broke.
This is what I'm saying to you. Now you have to go to work.
So you just signed on to be a baseball player, and now you got to get a job.
Now you got to go to work.
Okay.
But congratulations. Yes. Good on you, man. Good on you, Matt.
It's a rather unflattering article directed right at the Sacramento Kings up on Deadspin right now.
Oh, awesome.
Instead, pretty much everybody but Vivek Ranadive is getting screwed. The poor sucker the Kings take eighth overall tonight gets the same salary and contract length he'd get if a functional organization in a cool city were occupying that spot. That's about the last sentence that doesn't contain a profanity.
Now,
so
you know, I do believe Deadspin's got it in for us anyway. Right?
Yeah.
Right?
Oh, I know that. I think they, yeah.
Yeah. So I'm ignoring.
But it's not like they're.
They're haters.
The Kings have a lot to fix tonight.
They're not going to fix it all tonight.
Well, no. I mean, they have to be smart with this pick. We noted this all day. No matter who they pick, we don't know if they're going to be good in October or November or December. We're probably not going to know for several years. Get it right. And don't come out, for God's sake, don't come out and start comparing the pick that you just made to someone else.
Right.
No shoot like Steph, tall like Claire, whatever was said in the past. Just make
about
the pick.
About Stauskas, by the way.
Right.
What?
We all know who that. We all remember that.
That's what they were saying about Nick Stauskas? Mm-hmm.
Not they. He.
Oh.
Yes. Just one. So, we take the air tomorrow at 12 o'clock. Your latest member of the Sacramento Kings is who, Jason?
Oh, man. I would be very happy tonight if it's Jamal Murray. Don't think it will be, but that's who I'm going to go with. Be very happy.
The newest member of the Sacramento Kings tonight will be?
Denzel Valentine.
Really? You've been high on Valentine for a little while.
Good.
And you say
good pull. It's gonna be good pull, Mortimer. Good pull.
Something's going on with Boston.
Yeah.
I don't know that anyone in that block of teams needs a point guard more desperately than the Sacramento Kings do. I think something is done, and we lose a few guys tonight, and Chris Dunn is
it's a good night.
The Sacramento Kings point guard.
Could be a great night.
I don't know what we're giving Boston. Obviously, they get eight, and I don't know what,
yeah,
but they're getting something. We know Boston doesn't want the pick. Who are they going to give it to? Who's going to make the best offer is the question.
And so you guys say Boston needs a shooter.
Mm-hmm.
But we don't have a shooter to give up.
Rudy? Oh, just let it marinate. We're going to throw things out to Grant Napier here. He'll take you the rest of the way. For Jason Ross, Ken Rudolph, I'm Damian Barling.